It's draft day. It is always a fun, exciting time. As a Raider fan, no day gives me more anxiety on the NFL calendar. That wouldn't be the regular season games because they don't matter anyway. But this is an interesting draft. You have a team that drafted a quarterback in the first round last year with the first overall pick this year, and they're still looking at quarterback number one, even though apparently they don't have a trade in place for the other quarterback. It is a weird time with a weird team at the first part of the draft. Just overall, your excitement level for draft night tonight.
I mean, I think that the NFL draft is always really exciting. There's always some trades made in the first round. There's always teams seemingly willing to overpay to move up to draft a quarterback. And, you know, I'm not sure what's going to happen with the Arizona Cardinals. Let's not forget that last year they were a team that overpaid to move up to draft a quarterback. They gave up a first, a third, and a fifth to move up five spots to draft Josh Rosen. And now this year, seemingly, they're willing to cut bait and move on and take whatever they can for him. Now, I'm not sure if that's the situation or if they're trying to see what they can garner for the first overall pick for somebody that really wants Kyler Murray. But it'll be interesting, and these, you know, these things will all play out tonight. You know, for the last few months, most of the GMs in the NFL, you know, keep their cards pretty close to their chest, so to speak, and don't want to give out any information or tip their hand on what they're going to do. So, you know, all that's going to come to an end here. And, you know, with these deadlines and the draft picks, we're going to see some stuff happen and some things start to move.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun day regardless. If they don't go Kyler Murray one and just pull the wool over everyone's eyes, things get real interesting real quick. I could see the Jets moving down. I could see the Raiders just picking him. Apparently they're looking quarterback, and we'll get to that in a sec. But this could get kind of crazy if Kyler Murray doesn't go number one to Arizona.
Yeah, I think what I think will happen is that one team somewhere, whether it's the Washington Redskins, the team that really wants to move up to get a quarterback, or another team, will find a way to move into the top five or top two or three and just draft Kyler Murray. So I don't think that we'll see a slide on Kyler Murray where he ends up like an Aaron Rodgers did and went to, you know, into the late teens and things like that. I think that he'll get picked in the top five. It's just seemingly right now none of the teams in the top five have a quarterback need, but that can change quickly, and, you know, teams like to, you know, take an opportunity to improve the quarterback room. They're going to do that as well.
It's interesting you bring up no teams in the top five needing a quarterback. The Oakland Raiders apparently feel they need one. There has been talk linking them to Kyler Murray if he were to fall to four. And now apparently they've moved Dwayne Haskins up their board quite a bit. What's your read on the Ohio State quarterback?
Well, I think he's a very talented quarterback. I think that he's deserving of being a first-round pick. Whether he's better than Derek Carr, I'm not sure. And I think Carr, you know, if you give Carr, you know, they just went out and got a great left tackle for him in Trent Brown. They got a number one wide receiver in Antonio Brown. They're going to have three first-round picks, and maybe they use that on the best tight end in the draft. Maybe they get a really strong running back. Well, Carr's going to look a lot better when you start adding those pieces around him. So, I mean, I think that, you know, Carr's a young quarterback. I know he's still got some money left on his contract, and he makes quite a bit of money as well. But if they have an opportunity to keep him, maybe that's something they look at. Maybe they want to look at getting a quarterback. It all depends on what Gruden wants to do. And, you know, he's got the 10-year, $100 million contract, so he's not going anywhere. But these three first-round picks can really shape a franchise. We saw what having three first-round picks followed by two first-round picks for the Cleveland Browns have done. And they went from a team that was 0-16 to a team that's on primetime five or six times this year, and a team that a lot of team people believe will win the division. So when you have the first-round picks, the high first-round picks, you best not miss, and you best find the best player available.
A team with two first-round picks, the New York Giants, they obviously, people are pegging them to need a quarterback with Eli Manning being old and bad. What do you think? They have to go quarterback with one of these two picks, right?
I mean, I would imagine they'd have to go quarterback. You know, I wouldn't mind them, you know, whether they get a quarterback in the first round or the second round. I don't think the drop off after you get through the first three or four quarterbacks isn't huge once you move down. The first, you know, the top three kind of, you know, they're above and beyond everybody else. But once you get past that, if they develop a quarterback that you get in the second round, there's been lots of opportunities for teams to do that over the years. And I think that Eli Manning should be a quarterback that can help develop, you know, a younger quarterback as well that you groom for a year or two or 3 years or whatever it ends up being, how long Eli Manning plays for. If they bring in a quarterback and, you know, they move up in the top 10, I don't think that does anybody any favors because they're still going to try to play Eli. There's going to be a constant battle of should this quarterback get in. I like the idea of them drafting a quarterback a little bit later in the draft and developing him.
The real strength of this draft is guys who would have tried to make your life miserable when you were playing, and that's guys on the defensive line. Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Ed Oliver has moved up a lot of people's boards over the last little bit. A name that's going to be familiar, Josh Allen, this time edge rusher out of Kentucky. Is there anyone out of that pack that has really stood out to you in terms of maybe, probably not going number one, we probably know that's Kyler Murray, but best available player in that in this draft? Any of those four kind of stand out above the rest?
I'd be most interested in a guy like Ed Oliver, because he played at Houston, not a huge school, but you know, all he did was produce when he was there. And you know, maybe you get him into a better training program, maybe you get some better coaching around him, maybe you get some better players around him, and he really excels now. The other players, I mean, yeah, they're good, they're big, they're freakish, they're athletic. The thing about defensive linemen is these guys are, you know, freak athletes that are super, you know, superhuman seemingly. You look at guys like Quinnen Williams and Bosa, and they're some of the most athletic people you've ever met in your life, and they're 6 foot, you know, 300 pounds, whatever it ends up being. So they're really challenging, really hard to guard. But I like Ed Oliver. I think that he's a guy that should have been moved up the draft, and he's a guy that's going to cause people a lot of problems here at the next level.
With Nick Bosa, he obviously the name is going to sound familiar with his brother being on the Chargers. The one thing that concerns a lot of people that I've heard, and quite frankly, I would back this up, guy who's supposed to be a pass rusher doesn't have a double-digit sack season on his resume in college. Now, he gets hurt last season, was averaging a bit over a sack a game in his junior year with Ohio State before he has the core injury. But does that concern you that there is a bit of a lack of college production there when it comes to getting to the quarterback for Nick Bosa?
Yeah, I mean, it would always concern me. I mean, he's going to get lots of prep because of his name and how well his brother's done in the NFL. And, you know, he's going to get lots of looks because of that. But, I mean, he's going to be a talented player that's probably going to do well also. I mean, it'd be great if everybody had a Jadeveon Clowney-like college pedigree where they were, you know, have an insane year and didn't have to do much after that. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that a lot of guys play at big schools, and, you know, it's tough to get to the quarterback. Having a sack plus per game is very difficult, especially in colleges when they run the football as much as they do and as much as they do quick passes. So the NFL is a different animal, and you know, when these guys get there, it's who's going to be the best player in the NFL, and I think that he projects to be a very good NFL player.
If you're coming into this from a fantasy football perspective in a dynasty or a keeper league, I don't know if there's going to be much in the first round for you. Obviously, there's going to be some quarterbacks that are going to go. Quite a few could go, actually. But then after that, maybe a couple wide receivers. I don't know if we see a running back in the first round. But for the overall draft, how do you view the kind of fantasy positions, the quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends of this draft?
Well, I think in fantasy football, running back kind of rules the day, and everybody wants the best running backs available because they're going to have touchdowns. So you're going to see running backs taken either late first round or early second round. And if a team's willing to, you know, use that draft capital to use a running back, they're planning to play him. So you look at the New England Patriots last year getting Sonny Michel. You look at the Cleveland Browns early second round getting Chubb. You know, those are running backs that they plan to play and play a lot. So if you see a team, like I would imagine the Oakland Raiders with their late round pick in the first round there, they might go and get the best running back available in the draft, and that's going to be a running back that they're going to lean on moving forward. So that might be an opportunity, you know, if you want to look at fantasy football. The other one would be if a team drafts a tight end in the first round, they think a lot of him because you don't see tight ends drafted a whole lot in the first round. So keep an eye on that. And, you know, wide receivers get drafted in the first round, but there's a lot of wide receiver busts in the first round, too. So if you're looking for value and you're looking for things that are, you know, sure bets, so to speak, I look at the running back and tight end position first and foremost.
Talk about wide receiver busts. I get, like, body beautiful is the term that is used. DK Metcalf screams bust to me. Maybe it's just I'm jealous of a guy who has bigger muscles than I do, but this guy, I don't know if he can do a whole lot. Well, what's your scouting report on the bulked up receiver from Ole Miss?
I mean, yeah, he's a big wide receiver. He can run fast. He can run in straight lines fast. That's great. You know, the thing on offense is every play, there's only one guy with the football, and 10 guys have to block or have to, you know, find opportunities to block or get downfield. If you can't do that, you can't stay on the field. So you look at a guy, you know, a couple of years ago, John Ross with the Cincinnati Bengals, ran the fastest 40 of all time. What's he done since then?
Not much.
Not a whole lot. And there's seemingly somebody like that every year. You know, I look. I grew up a Rams fan. Tavon Austin got drafted 8th overall by the St. Louis Rams. We laugh about that now, right?
Yeah.
But there's guys that come out to the combine. They light the combine up, and they're great players in shorts. But when you put the pads on, it's a whole different ballgame. So, I mean, Metcalf might be a guy that you can play a wide receiver. He's big enough that he should be able to block. He's fast enough he should be able to catch. But can he put all these things together once he's on the field? We're going to find out.
It's going to be a fun one. Again, I am going to be stressing like hell about this. If there's a team that's going to go crazy in this draft, do you see one team that kind of makes a big splash, either moving up to get a quarterback or doing something drastic? Do you see a team kind of stealing the headlines of the first round?
I look at the Arizona Cardinals. They got a lot of gaps to fill. If they can move down from number one, you know, whether they end up with the 5th, 6th, 7th pick or 10th, they have lots of places they can fill guys and lots of opportunities to fill the roster. So if they can get a King's Ransom to move out of number one, that could be a big splash. And I look at the Oakland Raiders with their 3 picks, and, you know, they got 4 of the top 35 picks. Maybe they spin that into them moving up. Maybe they take 4 great players that are going to start and create some cost certainty for them, you know, moving forward. And, you know, that's a big opportunity for them as well. They've made a lot of splashes in free agency this year, so maybe they need to keep all 4 picks just to stay under the salary cap.
For Arizona,
see how that plays out.
For Arizona, and we're right up against it, but it makes all the sense in the world. Trade the 1st overall pick to the Giants for 6 and 17. The Giants get their guy with Kyler Murray as a quarterback. Arizona can fill some holes. To me, all that just makes so much sense.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Maybe they're asking for the 6th, the 17th, and the 2nd right now, and the Giants don't want to do it. But maybe they work out something where they get down to the deadline, and, you know, half an hour before the draft, they spin this deal and they get that done, and then they move forward. But, I mean, you don't have to do it until it's draft day, right? So until then, they just pitch offers at each other and see what happens.
It's going to be a fun night, man. Thanks for breaking it all down with us, and we'll see how it plays out tonight.
All right, great. Thank you.
There you go, John Bender helping us break down the NFL draft that you can listen to tonight.